gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, my little daughter is at the point of death. I pray thee that thou come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be made whole and live. It is written, and a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. It is written, and he saith unto her, damsel, arise. And she rose up and walked, for she was 12 years old. They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. And when he was come out of the boat, straightway there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling in the tombs, and no man could any more bind him, no, not with a chain, because that often he had been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been rent asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and no man had strength to tame him. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem. And crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. And let every kindred, every tribe, on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Mark chapter 5. Jesus is Lord of all.
For God is just a prayer away.
Yes, the gospel according to Mark gives us the message that Jesus is Lord over demons, Lord over disease, and Lord over death. First, his mastery over demons is shown in the account of the demoniac who said his name was Legion. You see, the Lord and his disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee, and a great storm threatened to sink the boat. Jesus, who was asleep in the hindmost part of the ship, arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. When they came to land on the other side, they ran into a storm of a different kind, a storm that was raging inside of a man possessed with a legion of demons. This man lived in the tombs, wore no clothes, was fierce, and it seems a threat to the public. He was crying out at night in the mountains, and all attempts to tame him failed. He could break chains, and there was no way to bind him. He had superhuman strength. He was Super Mugger. When Jesus asked him his name, he said his name was Legion. Now, the word besought is found four times regarding Legion. The first besought is when the demons besought that Jesus would not cast them into the abyss or bottomless pit. Mark says that Legion saw Jesus from afar off, and the unclean spirit cried with a loud voice. Now listen to these demons as they hiss at the Lord. Torment me not. Matthew adds the time element to that request. Art thou come to torment us before the time? When Jesus shows up on the beach, the demons thought he was going to start their torment ahead of time. You see, the devil believes in hell. Many people say they don't believe in it. The devil believes in it, and he knows it is just a question of time. Remember how the demons hissed out the truth of the matter when they said, "Torment me not before the time." Another message the demons hiss is in regards to their number. Jesus asked him, "What is thy name?" He said, "Legion, for we are many." Now there were many demons in this one man. This fact indicates how vast the number of evil spirits there are in the kingdom of darkness. If the devil could spare that many to torment one man, surely the forces of darkness are of an overwhelming number. The philosophy of the demons was the same as many we meet every day. They hissed, "What have we to do with thee?" They want nothing to do with Jesus, either here or in eternity. They hate angels. They hate the church. They hate the Bible. They hate Jesus, and they hate Christians. Now the second besought was a request to the Lord if he was going to cast them out. They would rather go into the swine. Jesus gave them leave, and no sooner did they enter into the swine that numbered 2,000, all of them ran down the hill and drowned in the water. It is a morbid thought, and I do not like to dwell on it. But we can't help but note that if the devil ever gets control of your life, he will rush you as fast as he can into the lake, what the Bible calls a lake of fire. This demon-filled man said that his name was Legion, for we are many. Ladies and gentlemen, what kind of a lifestyle does a person have whose life is controlled by demons? For one thing, no man could bind him. No, not with chains or locks. He could break these restraints like spider webs. People are breaking the chains of restraint today. A description of modern-day man is found in the second psalm. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. People today are not going to be bound by any laws of God. It's hard to understand these bleeding-heart liberals. They want to kill babies, yet they don't want to execute rapists and murderers. Many today, like Legion, are crying out. Just turn on the radio and television and listen to their unintelligible hissing as they bellow out the ballads of Beelzebub. They cut themselves with something worse than stones. They perforate their lungs by inhaling smoke. They destroy their lives by drinking poison. They fry their brains by shooting cocaine. Mankind, controlled by the devil, of course, live like Legion among the tombs. It is impossible to drive around the city or countryside very long without seeing a cemetery. We always hear the hiss of the serpent in every funeral procession. When the townspeople came out to investigate, they found the man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. In other words, it is a spiritual insanity to live life in this world without Jesus Christ. Think, too, of the fact that he went around naked. No wonder he lived alone. Actually, if the devil had his way, we would all take our clothes off. The devil hisses. It's all right because everybody else is doing it. And now here's the third besought. The townspeople wanted Jesus to leave. The reason was Jesus was too expensive. I asked a farmer about the price of hogs. He said a good rule of thumb would be $100 for a pig just big enough to go to market. Now think of that. 2,000 hogs floating belly up in the water would be worth about $200,000 if they only weighed $100 apiece. That was quite a jolt to the local economy. It was nice for Jesus to make this demoniac a good citizen, but the price was too high. "Jesus, we can't afford you. Get out of here." The demons always hiss when money is mentioned regarding the ongoing of the church. They besought him to depart from their borders. Jesus never stays where he is not wanted. What a haunting statement. Depart from our borders. Jesus himself will use the same words someday to many when he says, "Depart from me, ye cursed." The fourth besought was when Legion besought Jesus that he might be with him. The parting word of the Lord to the man he delivered from the demons was a commission. "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. 2 chapters later, the Lord came back to Decapolis, and this time they brought to Jesus a man who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to lay his hands on them. Jesus healed him, and this time they did not say, "Depart from our borders." They said, "He hath done all things well. He maketh even the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Legion had done his job well when he told everyone what great things the Lord had done for him. We Christians need to remember that Jesus has given us the commission to go and preach the gospel to every creature until the Lord returns. On that great day when the voice of the Master is calling, and the gates of the city unfold, and the saints of the ages are thronging into the city of gold, how my heart shall o'erflow with rapture if some brother shall greet me and say, "You pointed my footsteps to heaven, and you told me of Jesus the way." Jesus was more powerful than all the demons that dominated Legion. He is Lord over demons. Next we notice he is Lord over disease. And a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years came behind and said, "If I but touch the corner of his garment, I shall be made whole." And so when she heard of Jesus, she came and pressed behind and touched his garment. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And the Lord looked round about on her that had done this thing. The Lord looked on her with the look of compassion. Actually, Jesus looks on many people. He looked up into heaven before he healed that deaf man when he returned to Decapolis, when it was said, "He hath done all things well." That was a look that healed. Another time the Lord looked at someone was when he looked around the people, the disciples, when he predicted that he would be crucified. Peter took him and rebuked him, saying, "Lord, this shall never be unto thee." Peter had rejected the thought of Jesus dying on the cross. So Jesus turned about and looked on his disciples and rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men." Does he not also give that same look of rebuke today on those who reject his sacrifice on the cross as though he never died? Another time Jesus looked round about on people was on his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother." That look was a special look we have for loved ones of our family. Every Christian can sing, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God," because the Lord Jesus Christ looks on us that way. Another time Jesus looked round about him was in anger on the Pharisees because of their hardness of heart. And one might wonder today if Jesus still looks on those today in anger, that hear the gospel preached and will not accept how he suffered for them on the cross, as though he never died at all. Then there is that look of Jesus in the early part of his ministry, when Andrew brought his brother Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked on him and said, "Thou art Simon, the son of John. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation Peter. Jesus looked on Peter and saw an apostle. What does Jesus see as he looks at you? I think I can say Jesus looked on me a long time ago and saw a preacher. At last, this woman had found the right doctor. She had found the great physician. Some doctors today specialize, but Jesus is a specialist on everything. Jesus is a good chiropractor. One time a woman was bowed together for 18 years and could not lift herself up. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. One adjustment was all that was needed. He was a great ophthalmologist also. One time he healed a man from blindness who was born blind. He was a good psychiatrist. With one look, he could tell what they were thinking. He knew their thoughts. With the woman in this case, he demonstrated that he was a great oncologist or blood doctor. He healed her of her blood disease. He was also a wonderful podiatrist. When he caused a man to walk after being lame for 38 years. Now, in this case, there will be a real test for the great physician. A woman sick for 18 years, and no one could heal her. This woman reminds me of many who are spiritually sick today. They try all kinds of spiritual doctors and get worse all the time instead of better. Some people depend on doctor feeling to pull them out of it. I overheard people talking at a nearby table in a restaurant one time, and one of them was evidently a preacher. I heard him tell the others that the Lord had told him five things he wanted him to do. I wondered at the time, how did the Lord tell him that? Did he call him on the phone? Did he fax him a message? Or did he just holler it down to him from heaven? I suppose if someone had asked him, he would have said he just felt the Lord was talking to him. Doctor feeling is a quack. Some people spend all they have on doctor denomination. I heard one time a man pray in the church service, "O Lord, there are over 300 denominations in the Christian religion, and I thank you for every single one of them." Kind of quite a contrast when Jesus prayed that they all might be one. Then there are some that worship doctor baptism. Some depend on being immersed in water as the only step in the plan of salvation. The command that was given to the believers on the day of Pentecost was, "Repent and be baptized." And it was to be done in the name of Jesus Christ, by his authority. Many have heard those words and have turned a deaf ear to the repent part. At the point of obedience, Jesus will say to you, as he said to the woman with the issue of blood, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." Jesus is indeed Lord over demons. He is Lord over disease. And not only that, he is Lord also over death. "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, 'My little daughter is even now dead. I pray thee, come and lay thy hand on her, and she shall live.'" The majority of people turn to thoughts of religion at the time of death. They may never show any interest any other time, but when a loved one dies, many will turn to a preacher. So it was in this case. Now, it may never have actually happened, and then again, maybe it did, when one time a preacher had talked to someone about attending services, and the promise was, I will come when I get straightened out. Time and time again, the same excuse was given, I'll come when I get straightened out. And then one day the man died, and the family brought him to church for the memorial service. The preacher wanted to say something comforting regarding the corpse and said, this man was a truthful man. He always said he would come to services as soon as he got straightened out. I'll have to say that he's just about as straightened out now as he's ever going to be. Usually the religious feeling is for a short time. In a few days, it's back to business as usual. If death makes people think of spiritual matters, it is well that the preacher take advantage of the situation and preach the gospel at that moment for those in the audience who are more tuned to eternity than at any other time. What would you think of a doctor who examined you and knew you had a cancer, and to make you feel good told you that you were in the best of health? People may not want to hear the truth, but they need to hear it anyway. They expect you to preach their loved ones to the front row of heaven with a crown on their head and a harp in their hand, regardless of their relationship with Christ. Many listening to me at this time may feel as the audience did about Jesus in this case before us, when he said, the damsel is not dead but sleepeth, and they laughed him to scorn. They laughed at Jesus. So we are in good company today when they sneer at us for trusting in the Lord. Jesus told Jairus, be not afraid, only believe. Only believe, that's it. That is a secret for unity of all who would be united in Christ. Only believe. Just only believe what Peter told you to do in the name of Jesus Christ when he said, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If everyone would only believe that, there will be no division on the matter of how to be saved. Be not afraid. Only believe. Try that formula on anything where the Lord has spoken. Only believe. And then the Lord, taking the child by the hand, saith unto her, Talitha cumi, which is to say, being interpreted, damsel, arise. And straightway she arose and walked, for she was 12 years old. He commanded that they should give her something to eat. That is a good thing for the church to remember. Whenever there is a baptism and a person is buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, give them something to eat. Give them the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, and feed them the bread of life in the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, which is the bread of life. This was the argument for the resurrection that he would later use on the apostles concerning his own resurrection. Have you anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of honeycomb and a piece of broiled fish. And by taking food after he arose from the dead, there was no doubt that he was not just a spirit, but in fact, a resurrected body. And so when Jairus' daughter came out of that room, eating a Big Mac with fries and sipping a classic Coca-Cola through a straw, there was no doubt about her resurrection. This was the real thing. Jesus is indeed Lord of all. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.